Hey everyone, welcome back to Bitcoin Banter. I have Tony and Rick with me. We've got a lot of news to cover. I've been out of town the last few days with very limited, or at least very spotty internet access. So I spent like last night just catching up on everything. It's 2024 is going to be looked back on as perhaps the wildest year in recent memories, with maybe the exception of 2020. Let's jump right in here. So I think this is something that was we've always seen this, and that is, Coinbase and other exchanges, but particularly Coinbase, having issues with withdrawals or waiting periods or things. But this seems to be a prevalent issue now. They said early today we saw, and this is from today, the 23rd. Earlier today we saw a massive Bitcoiner account saying there's a 90-day hold on withdrawing their Bitcoin. Others are saying 30 days. Now a hold on $500 for 5 days. And I think Sean poses a great question, a couple of great questions. Are you low on liquidity? Are you creating paper Bitcoin? I mean, this is a lot of people. The people who need to be talking to us are still holding their Bitcoin on Coinbase in many cases. What are your initial reactions to what's happening here?
This smells like another FTX in the making. It also smells like another Lebanon in the making. This is how it started. You get the restrictions and you get the bullshit rules and all the everything that comes around with it. And at the end of the day, your money is gone. So this is not a good sign. I mean, if they're running low on liquidity or if they're playing any of the numbers games that FTX did in the past, this is going to be a calamity of epic proportions. And again, this is the risk of these centralized institutions, holding people's money. This whole regulated illusion of safety with KYC, all that garbage, it's has nothing to do with your protection or anyone's protection. In fact, it puts you in imminent risk of, things like this, of, corrupt governments coming over and seizing these things. I mean, anything is possible when you have one location to go to do it. And I mean, we've heard horror stories from Coinbase, over the months. It's never been a pleasant experience for most people, but this seems to be taking it, one notch higher. And if it does smell like another FTX in the making, brace yourself. This is going to be a massive, massive event.
Yeah, Rick.
Oh man, it's I mean, who can tell what's going to happen, right? But in Bitcoin, you've got to expect the unexpected. Well, I mean, it's funny I say unexpected because in some ways it's really not that unexpected. Over the years I've seen so many exchanges fail to the point where, I'd have to seriously sit down and think about all the different names over the years that have collapsed. I mean, FTX, Celsius, Voyager, BlockFi, and those are some of the recent ones, right? It goes all the way back to Mt. Gox, which is on a long enough timeline. I think you've got to kind of assume that a lot of these exchanges are gonna something's gonna happen. Like either they're gonna, gamble their users' funds. That's one of the big temptations most of the time. Like you saw that with like Celsius. They launched their own token. They had a load of shit coins all over their exchange, and I don't know the exact details, but they overstretched themselves, right? And then very quickly you find out they're insolvent, and then no one can get their money back. It could be a hack, like in the ca case of Mt. Gox. The money just gets completely stolen. And let's not forget that any exchange holding a significant sum of Bitcoin is a giant honeypot, right? And when your money is in that giant honeypot, it's attractive like everyone else's Bitcoin, right? So for me, a little bit, it just feels like Groundhog Day every few years in Bitcoin, right? It just happens again and again and again. And you keep thinking like, okay, everyone's going to figure this out now, right? That you can't keep your Bitcoin on exchanges. And yet we keep doing the same thing over and over. Now, I don't know, maybe it's new people in the space who haven't seen all of these calamities and blow-ups, but certainly after the FTX case, I thought, well, now everybody's seen it. Everybody knows what the problem is. So yeah, I don't want to comment on what's going on at Coinbase. It might be like something quite benign, or it could be something more serious. I think the point is that if your Bitcoin isn't on Coinbase and you look after it yourself, then you can look at the news and go, oh, that sounds kind of crazy. But sleep soundly, knowing that it won't impact you. And hey, look, if you're in a position like I am, you're sitting there going, well, maybe, hopefully, because if these custodians blow up, it always gives you a crazy buying opportunity. And I certainly wouldn't turn that down. But at the same time, you hate to see people get wrecked. I know how that feels. So the best way to protect yourself is get the hell out of there,
Yeah,
But
I
it's
think you,
regulated,
Oh.
Rick. It's regulated. It's safe. It's government approved, you know?
Oh, well, yeah, I could. It wouldn't take me long, Tony, to list all of the ways that the government has helped me over the last 5 years. Do you know what I mean? Like these people are not your friends. They're not there to protect you or help you. So
Well,
your point.
you should redefine the word regulated. It means government consent to steal on their behalf.
Yeah, and Rick, you hit on something important. I think that we have a. It's easy to feel like you see the same sort of people talking about Bitcoin, writing books, and it's easy to feel like it's, even though you know it's growing in adoption, it's sort of a static space, and it's just not. We've got 2 years of a new cohort of Bitcoiners who weren't around during FTX, and they heard something about it, but like Bitcoin kept going, so they kind of maybe have dissociated Bitcoin from what happened in 2022, and they're going to either see the light and hear from folks like us and make the right decision, or they're going to make the same mistake that people have been making for the last 15 years and keeping their coins on exchanges. So I hope this message reaches a lot of new people who are just it's not their fault. They're just kind of figuring this out. I mean, I had my coins on Coinbase and then BlockFi for a little while until I just heard it had been pounded into my head so many times listening to podcasts, not your keys, not your coin, get your coin off exchanges. And you know, hopefully they recognize sooner than folks did 10 years ago. You've got to self-custody. It's the only safe option.
What's scary, or what I've seen happen again and again and again, is like people always try and chase a bit of yield on their Bitcoin, and this is like a it's like sort of like a hangover from the traditional financial system, right? If you have money, you need to be earning a yield on it. It's mainly driven by the fact that if you're not earning a yield, then sitting in fiat currency, then it's losing purchasing power, right? So you're forced to gamble and forced to speculate. So when people see like these big regulated exchanges offering them financial products, like, I mean, I've seen it all, just crazy stuff, like, 15% APY, and just these huge returns. The question I think people should always ask themselves is, well, how are they able to offer me such an outsized return? The only way that makes any sense that they could do it is if they're earning an even bigger return, taking some off the top and giving it to you. Well, I mean, look around you. Where in the world can you get returns like that? Where on earth are they investing this money? It has to be in high risk, highly speculative things, normally shit coins. And look, when everything's pumping, it's all fun and games, right? We're all getting rich. Look at me. But when the boat goes out, we see who's wearing any swimming costumes, right? And the scary thing that I've seen over year after year after year is, on podcasts or even different shows, you'll see people like promoting these things and telling you, oh, it's a risk-free way to earn a yield on your Bitcoin. And you got to watch out for all these tricks, because it's ended badly so many times. That's what people need to hear.
Yeah, I saw my actually. So I was with my wife's family this weekend, and my brother-in-law. He's a great guy. He works in crypto. And so we, our theses are quite different on, where the world's headed. But he was telling me about a company. I think they're announcing it at the Bitcoin conference this week. Called I think Babylon. I don't know if you guys have heard about them, but basically they're going to allow you to stake your Bitcoin, like proof of stake style, and earn yield. And I asked him, I was like, well, where does the yield come from? And he said, oh, well, like it's these other coins that are built on top of this. You don't earn your yield in Bitcoin, you earn it in these other coins. I was like,
Same scam
Oh,
every time.
yeah.
It's the same scam
So
every
you're
time.
just speculating on new and different. It's like, yeah.
A
But
sucker strap.
anyway, yeah, scary stuff. Hey, if you're listening, get your coins off exchanges now. Talk to the Bitcoin way. Okay, item number two. So this is another thing. The cool thing is, the company that my brother-in-law works for, is owned by the guy who they actually sort of merged operations with F2 Pool. So he's been in the CEO's been in Bitcoin for a long, long time. And then he ventured into some other more speculative things, in my opinion. But my sense is he kind of has an inside scoop on some of what's going on. And he told me that the word on the street was this week, Trump's speaking at the Bitcoin conference, and he's going to announce his intention for the US to own some Bitcoin in reserve. So to have the Treasury buy some Bitcoin or hold some Bitcoin. And then Mario Nafal tweeted about this as well. In my mind, if this were to happen, I mean this would be massive because this is like the highest level of the game theory kicking in, right? Like China, Russia, all of our, pick your favorite enemy of the United States or the West, if you want to think of it that way, are then forced into consideration of Bitcoin as a reserve. My brother-in-law also told me that he heard that Q4 China's going to lift their it seems like relatively soft ban that they have right now on Bitcoin. And it just makes me wonder, like, is this that moment we've been talking about for years that the right players get in, and if it sort of forces everyone else's hand? Obviously El Salvador hasn't had the sway, on a global stage to do that the last few years. The United States sure as hell does. So first of all, do you think this is coming? And second of all, what are the implications?
Yeah, I think it's coming. It's a very possible eventuality. I mean, but even if he does announce it, I don't think, personally, I don't think it'll have an immediate impact on price. I don't think it'll change much. But what it will do is that it'll send a clear message to, the big money, the big institutions, and perhaps, the other players in the space that this is something that they should be, allocating a lot more heavily into, because now it's a strategic reserve asset. It's that's it, it's confirmed, it's here to stay, it's not going anywhere, it's backed up by, so to speak, like the one of the world's biggest governments. That's what I think will happen, and eventually other countries, other nations, will take notice of this, and they're like, oh well, if they're doing it, we should be doing it as well. And that's where the cascading effect accelerates, and that will raise Bitcoin's value exponentially at that point. But just the announcement that they're making it a strategic reserve, I don't think it'll have an impact, at least initially, until those side effects kick in.
Yeah, percolates through the world.
Yeah.
Rick, you think it's coming?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I'd say to anyone listening is just like, it's so easy to let this kind of speculation like consume your thoughts, right?
Yeah.
So let me give you a recent example, something that I'd notice, right? Is do you remember when the ETFs were going to get approved? And everybody on your timeline, and almost everybody on your timeline was saying, right, within 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever the prediction was, that we were going to be at $300,000 per coin. This was going to happen. We were going to have, Godzilla candles, like the whole thing, right? And look where we are. The price is kind of bumbling around where it was. It's really easy to get swept up in all this excitement, and it's really easy as well to create content that draws people's attention in, right? This is what's really happening, is people want the impression. So man, I having been around a while, I could write, tons of theses on why Bitcoin is going to go stratospheric and all the different drivers. And I believe in all that game theory stuff. Like Tony, I think on a long enough timeline, our country's going to adopt this and make it part of their strategic reserve. Yes. But I think it's really not wise to look at one man's speech on one day that, you know, it's not a promise. It's not a guarantee that it will happen. You know, I don't understand the American system well enough to understand whether he has the authority, if he becomes president, to just make that decision unilaterally. Maybe not. I'm sure it's much more complex than that. But it's very easy to sit there and go, oh, you know, when we line all these things up, and then Elon Musk's going to get on board. And I would just say, more often than not, people get very, very excited and then often might end up quite disappointed. And also bear in mind that, like, look, if you're one of these crazy people who tries to trade their Bitcoin, first of all, you'll lose all your money eventually. And second of all, like, you know, look, there's going to be very sophisticated people who've traded their whole lives trying to play the other side of this. So, you know, speculating on short-term price action is a really fast way to get wrecked. So the right thing to do, as although it's less entertaining, is think more about, well, what about my strategic reserve, right?
Yeah,
Screw
exactly.
America's strategic reserve. What's my strategic reserve? How am I protecting my family? You know, think of yourself as a nation. And maybe they are going to do it. So front run them. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, if you're still lingering at zero, don't worry about the government's strategic reserve. Get your reserve where it needs to be first.
Amen. Well, you brought up Elon Musk, so let's talk about him. He did throw up laser eyes this week, and he's been known to, I mean, I think Tesla, you know, still holds a lot of Bitcoin. There are maybe one of his other companies, I can't remember who, but he's dabbled in Doge and kind of gone back and forth. Now he is a big Trump supporter. Again, this is news from my brother-in-law. He said supposedly Elon Musk's jet is in Nashville, and he thinks Elon Musk is going to be making a surprise appearance at the conference. I don't know if that's true, obviously, but you know, it's a this is a big nod, not necessarily because, to your point, one person or one country's adoption of Bitcoin is the end all, but he is an influential figure. He's talked about turning, you know, X into like a effectively a large financial services firm. And if you were to orient that toward Bitcoin, could be a big deal just from a like an adopt, like a lot of people would be almost not forced into adoption, but would be sort of provided a path to adoption that they might just passively sort of take. I know your opinions. I know your opinion is that who cares? Get your own reserve. Do you think that there? Do you think this means anything significant, though? And might this propel Bitcoin into the mainstream? Do you think he's sending a particular message?
Well, look, it's definitely not bad news. I mean, it's great. It creates a lot of, you know, positive vibes. You know, people get excited, they get hyped, you know, influential figures. But that's also part of the problem. You know, too many people are waiting on these influential figures to do or say something to validate, you know, their own actions. You know, you don't need Elon Musk to put on laser eyes for you to understand that Bitcoin is going to become the global reserve. I mean, if that's what you're waiting for, chances are, you know, your own reserves are flatlined. And that's, you know, more of an urgency for you to focus on than to worry about what Elon Musk, which is worth hundreds of billions of dollars, is going to do. I mean, he doesn't care if the Bitcoin price is, you know, 600,000 or, you know, 3 million. He can still afford plenty of it. You can't. So instead of worrying about what all these other players are going to do, it would be nice to do the work. You understand, you know, that this is, you know, the world's most valuable asset, the asset that humanity has ever seen, and start doing what you need to do in order to get as much of it as possible to secure your own future, irrespective of what Elon Musk, he's like the cherry on top. If he adopts it, great. Also, don't forget, that's the same guy who was flaunting Dogecoin, right? So, and you know, when he dropped Bitcoin a little while back for some environmental bullshit reason, you know, there's also that to keep in mind. I mean, these are not the holy grails of individuals. Yes, it's great. It's nice that, you know, they're more on the side of Bitcoin, you know, like people like, yeah, they're coming over now. We're going to win. It's not about winning. Bitcoin is already won. It's about you adopting it enough to secure your own future. They're not thinking about you. They're thinking about, you know, either attracting more attention for their own interests. You know, that's really what these guys are doing. But yes, in the global scheme of things, it does create like a nice positive energy around Bitcoin, which is always nice to hear. But you need to be focused on the important stuff and not the fluff. You're not like we're not playing the role of a cheerleader here, waiting for all these people to come out and give us validation. We don't need any of them. Bitcoin doesn't need any of them.
Yeah, I'd say that's spot on my view. I mean, I've got mixed feelings on Elon. You know, there's some things that he does that I think, yeah, great, and there's other things that I'm less impressed with. I mean, Tony, you mentioned Dogecoin, right? Like,
Yeah.
you know, the thing I think about Elon Musk is like he does have a sense of humor and he does like to troll people a little bit.
Absolutely.
And I think actually, if I'm honest, over the years, you know, watching his behavior, I think sometimes he gets a kick out of trolling, you know, the cyber hornets or the Bitcoiners a little bit, right? Because he knows he's going to get a reaction. So, you know, when he's doing all this Dogecoin stuff, I genuinely think he just finds it entertaining and he's just a billionaire having a good time and messing around a little bit. The problem I take with that though is that, you know, if you're Elon Musk and you're going to talk about Dogecoin, you have to understand that as soon as you tweet about it, a
Yeah.
load of people are going to rush into it, chuck money into it. And
Bingo.
I don't know, I haven't looked at the Doge chart in a long time, but I'm pretty sure everybody would have got wrecked had they bought it and held on to it. So, you know, encouraging the general population who might not know that much about Bitcoin to go and play with that stuff, there's a couple of things. One, probably gets a lot of people wrecked. And number two, you know, there's a risk that actually you divert them away from what Bitcoin is. They have a bad experience. They write off, you know, crypto as one big bubble and they walk away. But on the flip side, you know, I like some of the stuff that Elon does. So, you know, I really do believe that without him having bought Twitter, would we even have a social media platform where we could speak openly and freely? Arguably, I don't think so. So it's a difficult one. But what I'm telling, what I guess if you want my prediction of what Elon Musk is doing, I'm definitely expecting a rug pull. Like it's going to be some big silly joke again. Everyone gets angry at Elon again because he does some stupid Doge thing or something. So like Tony, I'm not too interested in what he's getting up to. The only thing that would get me really excited is, yeah, if he used X to really drive Bitcoin payments and gave users ways to interact and transact with each other. Now that really would be exciting, but I try not to get too excited about his profile picture, right? Because it's fairly
Yeah.
meaningless in the grand scheme of things.
It
Can
could
tell.
be anything. I mean, yeah.
I can tell I'm talking to two Bitcoin OGs here because the excitement amongst the newbies has to be much higher. But no, I mean it does make a lot of sense, and I think it's easy when you reach that level of wealth and influence to take for granted what it means when you talk about things or share things or change your profile picture and give a nod to an asset or not. There are a lot of people, to your point, I think, Rick, that have probably been wrecked assuming that what Elon's tweeting about or talking about is in some way inevitable or, prudent financial advice. And it's just not. So this is the kind of thing that it makes me excited because I think because I take a step back and look more at the macro, and that is, very clearly somebody has gotten a hold of the leading presidential candidate in the United States, Donald Trump. Elon Musk has now committed $25 million a month to, I think, a super PAC in support of Donald Trump. He's endorsed Donald Trump.
45 million.
Oh, 45 million. So yeah, a lot of money. And so it does make me wonder, has like a David Bailey or someone like that who's gotten inside access to Trump and is in his ear, maybe having these conversations with Elon Musk. And maybe this is just nothing. And maybe this is a massive shift in like an intent for US other sovereigns and major influential, folks like Elon Musk to like finally step into Bitcoin fully and in good faith. Again, that's the optimist in me speaking. It's certainly it doesn't change my Bitcoin stack or anything or what I'm doing, how I'm thinking about my own self-sovereignty, but I'm hopeful that it's a promising development and not simply a rug pull, but I'm ready for anything.
Michael, does that mean you're not gonna buy MAGA coin?
I don't think MAGA coin's probably in my future.
No, because
Come
I mean, I haven't
on,
verified this, right? Because I'm not interested in that rubbish, but I'm sure I saw somewhere this week that like one of Trump's sons or something is giving a talk
man.
about some MAGA coin, and I'm thinking,
Yeah.
okay, this is why you don't get excited, right?
Well, I think the other thing too, though, we have to step back. So I know nothing about the MAGA coin, so I'm not defending their decision to pursue that. I don't know though, like could that be like a fundraising thing or something? And like no intention of being a global reserve currency. I think we tend to assume that everyone in like crypto or sort of Bitcoin adjacent projects are competing directly with Bitcoin, and they think they have the next best thing because we've heard that so many times. But I'm also open-minded to people trying to leverage new technology or just maybe taking like a more interesting route toward some other objective. And they have no intention of MAGA coin being a global reserve currency. It's like a fun project to get, voters excited or something like that. So again, it's not in defense of that. It's probably just utter nonsense, but I'm open-minded to it being to coming to market with no intention of competing with Bitcoin, but rather just being like a separate fundraising project or, ways of bringing awareness or something.
I think the problem is though, like what I've seen for too long is I guarantee you anyone buying that coin is only buying it because they expect a financial return. They think it's going to pump, they think it's going to be popular. Like this,
Yeah,
you know, I get
that's
what you're
true.
saying about fundraising, but you could do that with Bitcoin. You could take donations and anything. You could sell t-shirts. Why do you need to create like a financial asset to raise money? I just feel like it preys a little bit on people's greed. I mean, like one thing you saw like during like hyperinflation in Weimar Germany was that speculation and gambling just took off. And that's because the only way people could survive, you know, was by desperately trying to catch like some big pump in some asset. And I just think it's a bad time to be putting that sort of stuff out there. But hey, that's just me.
No, I think that's a fair position. Yeah, and my intent with my comment isn't to sympathize or to certainly not to express that what they're doing is a good idea, but rather I think we tend as Bitcoiners as Bitcoin only folks to assume everything is like intended as hostile toward Bitcoin, and I think a lot of things are just silly projects. Gents, we're actually starting to run a little bit low on time. We got two more items to get through, so I'm gonna share my screen here. So only from the Bitcoin way could Joe Biden's stepping down be the fourth item in our list of news. But Joe Biden, I feel like he like broke up with us via text. He just shared on Twitter, no speech or anything, that he's stepping down. He's endorsing Kamala, it seems, and so is everyone else. It looks very likely that she's going to be, based on the delegates she's gotten, to support her, the nominee. And Trump is, as a recent poll I saw, beating her by 11 points. So I don't think it's going to change the outcome of the election, probably. But just, from abroad, any commentary on this before we jump onto the last point?
Well, yeah, it was very funny that he announced it only on Twitter. I'm not even 100% sure that he's aware that he's no longer running, you know? So, on that front, anything is possible since this is long overdue, man. This should have happened like a long time ago. And now his new appointee, well, it's like taking a bad situation and making it exponentially worse. I don't see how that can, has even a chance of playing out. But then again, anything is possible in America. So, wait and see.
Rick, any comment?
From my point of view, man, I give up. I totally give up trying to
It's
understand what the hell is going on. I mean, you know, a few days ago, Donald Trump gets shot in the head. Then within 2 days, the CrowdStrike thing takes all the airlines and everything offline. Now the president has stepped down via a tweet, and everyone's saying like, it wasn't signed. It wasn't. The whole thing, I'm still waiting to wake up. I'm waiting for someone to wake me up and go, Rick, you've been in a coma for 10 years. You were twitching a lot. Like, it seems like a crazy dream. Because I don't even know where to start with it. Like, you see all the speculation now on Twitter. Like, is he even alive? And I'm not going to add to the speculation. I have no idea. I think 99% of the people on Twitter have no idea. We're in the twilight zone now, boys, right? Anything could happen.
The
I think.
matrix is glitching.
Yeah, big time.
It sure feels that way, Rick. No, I think that's a mature, responsible take. All righty, last one. So, Bitcoin conference, Nashville starts this week. I'm going to be down there. So, I think I'm representing the Bitcoin way, and I've already shared that I'll be there, looking to catch up and network and meet anyone I can. I've already gotten a couple of DMs about meeting up with a few great people, so I'm looking forward to that. Anything in particular that you're excited for coming out of this?
Man, this is like watching a nice trailer to a movie. You're just hoping that the movie is actually good and it's not just the trailer or the best parts of it, you know? So that's my take on Bitcoin Nashville. You've got all this hype, all this buzz around it. You know, Trump is speaking, maybe a surprise announcement by Elon, you know, and all that jazz. Well, all right. So the trailer looks nice. Now let's see what the movie's like. I hope it's not a dud. I hope it's a massive success. Because if it is, you know, it sure as hell sets a precedent to a very bullish future in the United States.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, we'll know over the next 4 days what the movie's like.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see what's announced and what isn't announced. Again, I just tell people to temper their excitement a little bit, right? Like, quite often we get really excited before conferences because there's going to be an announcement from this company or this person, and we get really hyped. I remember when El Salvador announced that they were going to, start their Bitcoin strategy, and everyone, probably myself included, was like, oh man, right, well, within 2 years, there's going to be 12 countries that have done this, and we're off. We're here, boys. Like, it's all done. So again, beware the hype a little bit, because don't forget these conferences, like, they do marketing. They want to sell tickets, and conferences and events are like really fun, really great. But the most value I ever get out of a conference is the people that I meet there, rather than necessarily the talks, especially not like celebrities like Russell Brand. I can't believe out of all the people from the UK, he's the guy that's going on stage at the Bitcoin conference, because I'm not convinced he has that much to add to the story. There's Bitcoiners I know that have no following that would give you so much better quality information than that guy. So yeah, I think it's a really fun event. I hope there's some really exciting announcements and stuff like that. But it does. It's important not to get distracted away from your own mission, which is actually, probably one of the big mistakes I made, which is why I repeat it so often, is focus on what you're doing. Focus on, it's nice to have these little events, but as soon as it's done, get straight back on your game plan and your mission and where you're trying to end up in 5 years.
Absolutely, man. Don't let the cheerleader distract you, because
I
that's
think
all it is.
I think I'm going to call this episode of Bitcoin Banter, Curb Your Enthusiasm. All these exciting things, and you guys are like, ignore it, ignore it. Just just stack sats, and
Stay grounded and focused. That's
yeah.
the mission.
No,
Everything
that's
else is just noise.
yeah, no, that's a good message. No, hey, thank you guys for coming on as usual. To everyone listening, we really appreciate you being here. If you've got your coins on Coinbase, it might take 90 days to get them to the right place, but check out the Bitcoin Way. It's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Schedule a call with our team. We can help you do it right. Again, if you're lucky enough, you'll get to talk to Tony, and I can say that we do an excellent job because I was a client first before joining the team. And guys, any parting words or advice besides stay humble, stack sats, ignore the noise?
Stay tuned for a crazy 2024. I think, you know, we see something monumental happen this year. I don't know what it is, but I get a sense that something's going to be big. Maybe it's the year that, you know, most people are completely priced out of Bitcoin. Who knows? I mean, there are enough events, you know, lining up that could lead to that. So if you're still lingering at zero, start moving and fast.
Yeah, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. That's always got to be
Absolutely.
the strategy, right?
Well said. All righty, guys. Thank you so much for the time. Cheers, everyone. We'll be back in a few days.